Uyazi umzansi Stellaville is filled with flavor.
But you know that ge o batla go tseba gore fame e re mongwaneng. Or who secured the latest bag.
Or just who's dripping with sauce.
And who's adding the spice.
Jonga yonke into nje.
Because if it's hot, then it's definitely in the Chisa pod.
Chisa!
Welcome to another episode of the Chisa Pod, where we have the incredibly talented and gorgeous actress turned DJ now, okay? She's known for captivating stage presence and, yeah, you're known for quite a lot, right? And you're joining us in studio right now in Johannesburg.
Yes,
thank you so much for coming through. In case you don't recognize the voice I'm talking about, Mbalinkosi, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, guys. I'm super excited. You are kickstarting the Elements Tour, essentially. So
I love
it's exciting.
That.
It's exciting.
I love
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
I definitely want to speak about music because that's where you are right now.
Yes.
But
yes.
I feel like it will be such an injustice if I don't start at the beginning yes. of everything else. We can sum it up, though. I mean, you were known for being an actress for quite some time.
Yes, yes.
And a media personality. Mm-hmm. You've done quite a lot. Just take me through how you would maybe describe your career as an actress.
Wow, guys. You know what? I'm in a very honest period of my life right now. So I've been very honest in my answers.
Okay.
So I hope this doesn't like catch people off guard. But acting started for me when I was 5. I went to drama school for a good 15 years. I went to Legal and I did musical theater there. I did drama. I did dancing as well, which explains the dancing stage of my life as well. So there I did like a culmination of everything. So drama was such a like passion point. It was like such a love. I was that, you know, the theater child. It was my love child. But then when I got into the industry, I was just, there were so many things that came through that just made me feel like this is not going to be something that is rewarding for me personally. Okay. I know that a lot of people, it's their dream and hey, go push it. But in my space as a female going into that industry, I was caught with a lot of people wanting sexual favors. I was caught with a lot of women trying to stop you from moving forward because they're competing with you in the role. I was caught with other women and men sleeping with the producers and directors to get the role that you're supposed to actually shoot. So in the beginning, you're like, it's part of the game. It's part of it. You know what? I'm going to ride or die. It doesn't matter. But then it just became something that was just consistent and it was just overbearing. And it just got to a point where I was not fulfilled.
Wow.
I went through a full depression when I was on The Queen. Full depression. I was there for a year and I was shooting 16-hour days, waking up 4 o'clock in the morning, going to set at 5, finishing at 8 p.m., 9 p.m., coming back to read your lines for tomorrow from 10 till midnight to sleep 3 hours to go back and do it all over again. And you're shooting Monday to Saturday. And then I sat and I was like, when do I have time for family? When do I have time for friends? When do I have time for me? And I also do businesses, so I didn't have time to pursue the things that also keep me alive. So I made a conscious decision of I'm going to stop and I'm going to pause and I'm going to take a breather because even though, yes, it is an industry that is something I always wanted to be a part of. It was a huge dream. I can say I ticked it. It's fine. I'm okay with it, man. I did the soapies. I did the telenovela. I did the series. I'm like, it's okay, you know? Yes, as a child, you have the dream of I want to go international. I want to, but I also want to be happy.
Absolutely.
And I want to see my people and I want to push my dreams. And I just felt it wasn't a space that was making me happy. I was happy sometimes. I'm not going to act like I was depressed every day, but majority of the time, I just felt like I don't want to be angry every day at work.
Absolutely.
I don't want to be depressed every day at work. And I also don't want to be worried, where's my next check coming? Or what role am I going to now get? And not even in the worst way, guys, spade a spade. My skin complexion also hindered me on a lot of roles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no,
really?
It did.
I thought it would be the other way around.
A lot of people think that way.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's a chat that a lot of actors have brought up, but I think people, it might not come across the right way.
Okay.
I know people like Pearl have brought it up. Makgotso M has brought it up. It's, if you go to casting, model, if you're a model, if you're a TV personality, if you're an actor, if you go for casting, there's a brief.
Okay.
And the brief will say, we're looking for a caramel skin person who's between the age of 18 and 25, example. Or they'll say, we're looking for a black person who is chocolate skinned between the ages of 18 and 25 from the height of da-da-da-da-da. Now, umZulu.
Yeah.
I don't look like a Zulu person.
No.
So then I get sent for colored roles.
Oh.
But I don't speak Afrikaans.
Oh,
and I don't have curly hair. I have an afro.
Oh, damn.
So it would always be a confliction when I go to castings, because people will be like, are you colored or are you Zulu? Because then if you're colored, can we rather cast you for, you know, Mariki?
Yeah.
Or if you're Zulu and you want to be Uthandi, but there's a chocolate skin girl who could play Thandi more, you know, and people would believe that more. So there was a lot of back and forth and fighting with that. And I was just like, I'm tired of having to fight for my identity or to fight for my authenticity. And yes, you're an actor, you can play different roles. I did. I went and I played colored roles. I went and I played African roles. I even went and I played roles where I'm not even from South Africa.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it just felt like a struggle. And it was a struggle that I was not willing to keep pushing.
Sure.
So I just made the decision to just take a step back and focus that time, focus on my presenting, focus on my businesses. And to be honest, it was the best decision. I stopped being depressed. I stopped crying every day. I stopped having to have to explain Kutumbalungo Suban. I had to stop having to fight with people for spaces or for or space or to or for a moment where it felt like now I could be myself. I could push boundaries by just like having conversations with people, which is what I love doing. I love conversations. I love meeting people. And I just felt like that made more sense to me. It was more fulfilling. And it was beautiful because then I did a lot of all access and I got to meet some amazing artists. I got to meet amazing personalities. I got to travel, which I love. I mean, you see, that's more me. Like, let me travel. Let me meet people. Let me discover people. Let me discover self. And that meant more to me than fighting for a role that, honestly speaking, I don't think is even worth the pay.
Sure.
To be honest.
Absolutely.
To be honest.
I mean, definitely comparing that with a DJ career, there's definitely more coins in the music scene.
Yeah,
but we'll get into
that.
You said a whole mouthful. I can't
I
just
know.
Get over
That's what I said, guys. I don't know what's happening. I mean, you know what? I think it's because of this EP. We'll get into it. But I've been in, it's been a very spiritual journey. So I think, like, a lot of times we come from an era of perfection, especially like the millennials. The millennials,
come on.
They come from an era of perfection. And and I've seen from the Gen Z squad, like, they're more about like, I am what I am.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Except me.
I woke up with no makeup on.
And that's
no filter.
That.
I'm not there yet, guys. I'm not there yet. I still have to be like, makeup's got to be on. Hair has to be slicked back. You know, perfume. What shoe am I wearing? Because we were from the era of, if you show up,
you must show up.
Yeah, you know? And even it's hard. And I think that's the thing that people don't talk about. It's hard even like getting to a space where you have to do like TikToks and stuff and you have to be as is. And it's like, yo, you guys are going to see me in my pajama?
Like, yes.
No makeup?
Yes.
As is?
Yeah.
With my dog on me? Imagine. It's hard. It's hard, guys. It's hard. So, So I think, it's just like a journey. So through this space and working through this music, it's made me feel like I need to be more honest. And honest about my journey as well. Because a lot of people ask those questions. Why did you stop acting?
Yes.
Because I had many sexual people wanting to sleep with me.
Yeah.
Because I had women stopping me. Because I had evil bosses who were making work horrible every day. It was depression. And I was like, I'm not going to go to a mental institution. I'm out.
No, we don't want that. Sure, that is quite hectic. And I think when you mention, you know, the stuff that you were faced with, I almost want to ask you what sacrifices that you had to make. And of course, you speak about the sexual favors that you were offered. I imagine because you're honestly speaking about it, you did not go that route.
No.
But what other sacrifices did you have to make? What challenges did you really encounter?
Well, it was so many sacrifices. I mean, there's so many moments where you lost. Okay, so I'll even give like a little background. If you're doing, for example, a telenovela or soapy, when you on call with them, like on global call, which means that they are the first call. You're not allowed to do other stuff. They are the first people that control what you do. So, for example, if you got MC work on the side, or if you got a film offer that's going to maybe just take 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But you've signed a year contract with these people.
Yep.
And so if they say no, you can't do it.
Yep.
If you've got a gig in Durban and they're like, hey, can you fly in Friday so that you can do an MC job Friday afternoon? They're like, but no, you're shooting on Friday and you finish at 9. So no.
Yeah.
And it's you lose out on a lot of work. You lose out on a lot of opportunities. I don't know if people also pay attention and see, like, at events, you hardly see actors there. And it's not because they don't want to.
Okay.
I can't tell it, guys. It's like they have to be at work. They have to go home. They have to read their scripts. When they are out, it's honestly like a sacrifice of time. It's a sacrifice of of reading lines. It's a sacrifice of lots of fights and backs and forths. Mm. But I'm not going to like bash the industry. I mean, there's so many good people in it. There's so many good directors. There's so many great people you get to meet in it. Mm. And if it's your passion, go for it fully. But just be prepared that it's not an easy space to be in. Mm. And it's honestly, it's not for the weak at heart. And not. And I'm a very emotional person.
Oh, okay.
So I can cry at like I can cry very easily, and wow, I get very affected by things very easily. So for me, it was a space I loved, but personally, I think it was easier to do series and to do things that are, you know, 6 weeks nyana.
Okay.
2 months and out.
Okay.
But I just felt a telenovela was draining, and because it was the last thing I did, I was just like, nah, yo, I'm good.
Yo,
I'm good.
I mean, you spoke about, you know, having depressive, I'll call them episodes.
Yeah,
it was not, you said it was not all the time. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But how did you even get through those? You also spoke about the quiet. So yes, like, how did you even get out
of that space? That's when I started hiking, actually, which is one of my biggest hobbies.
Okay.
And I just always felt like I was more happier in nature. So I was like, you know what, maybe if I start walking more and I start speaking to myself more alone, it'll be easier. So I started a hiking club back then, and I actually did very well. I had like so many people a part of it. And would like go to like different hiking spots, you know, you'd go to Hennops, you'd go to different places in Pretoria, you'd go to you'd even like take trips and go to like different hiking spaces in Zimbali, or you're going to Cape Town and you're taking hiking trails. And it became like a fun thing, which was also active but also a form of meditation. So it was a moment to just sit and think. And even till this day, my best ideas come from when I'm hiking. So I'll go and hike and say, what do I want to do? Does this make me happy? Is this sufficient? Do I like this? Yes, no, no. Okay, out. Or yes, yes. Let's take another hike and let's think of how we're going to like accomplish this. And I started doing that. I also spent a lot of time with family. They're always like a huge pillar for me. And it was honestly like they're the ones who always say, Mbali, what do you want to do? Are you doing it for people or are you doing it for you? Because you have to live this life.
Absolutely.
And I was like, I don't want to look like a failure, because then you look like you fell off. And then they're like, okay, Mara, you're crying every day and you're depressed every day.
Ish.
And the people you're working with aren't making you happy every day. So why do you want to be in that space? And I think that's why I appreciate my mom in that space so much. She was always such a strong foundation, in a sense where she made it so important for me to say, don't do something you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And that could go for relationships, that can go for work, that can go for even lifestyle. If you need to take a step back, take a step back.
Absolutely.
If this person's not making you happy, leave. And my mom would always say, but you're not a rock, ne? Don't wait for people to pick you up and throw you.
Yeah.
Walk away.
Yeah.
You know, not happy, walk away. It came in so many different like variations in my life. I'm like, I look like a failure. She's like, no. Then I'm suguma, ne? Walk away. And I'm like, awesome.
Sure.
That's enough. Walk away.
I think I want to talk about the state of the, I will say, the acting industry in general. I mean, right now it's quite a big conversation in terms of just having, seeing our, some of our thespians become just down and out and struggle. That's one element. But also when you spoke about, you know, sexual favors, I always wonder, why is it that we never call out these perpetrators?
And people don't call them out, Jazz.
Because
I
that's
don't know
why. That's why the state of the industry will still remain. Right? People, even generations after.
You know what? To be honest,
have to be,
you know what? I'm going to say to be honest a lot of times today.
It's an honest episode.
It's an honest episode.
Yeah.
But to be honest, the reason why people don't call people out is because the people who are asking you to do those jobs are the bosses. So if you say no or you call them out, you can be blacklisted and you won't get work ever again. Or you won't, you'll be put in a position where now you don't even get the callbacks, or you don't even get the short listings, or you don't even get the show, because if it's the head of channel,
like, and how many people
and
does
how
he
many
know
people
in the industry
are under him? So it just doesn't work like that. And that that only doesn't work for channel heads, it also works for producers and production companies. If you are not in the right space with the producer, every show they do after that, they're not going to call you.
For sure.
Why must I call you? It's
for
my
sure.
company.
Yeah.
You know, so people rather just keep it to themselves. It was a conversation between the people amongst ourselves. We'd go, hectic. Yo,
hectic.
Yo, hectic. But then you'd never go to media and stuff, because it could ruin your own career path.
True.
And that's that's why I said I don't want to be in that space. Mm. Imagine Nganyani, I must be worried about Gucci. Yo, I can't say how I feel. And I'm a very talkative person.
Yeah.
Like, it's very hard to be like, guys, this is what I did not experience. Guys, yeah. I experienced this. And then you have to say, H, but I can't, because now I'm not going to get that casting tomorrow.
True.
H, I need to hold it in because I'm not going to get that.
Yeah.
And I took a break.
Yeah.
And then 2 years back, I got a casting. And I don't know what made me do it. I said, let me go.
Mm.
It's been, you know what, it's been years. Maybe the industry's changed.
Yeah.
There's now more my Netflix, more Showmax. Let's try, you know? Mm. And then I even went there as natural as possible. Like, normally, as I said, I was about perfection, right?
Yes.
I went there, no makeup, my hair tied in a bun.
Yeah.
I was even like in the black leggings and a black tank top. And I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
And the only reason I went was because I've always wanted to play a villain role. And
oh,
I was like, let's go.
Let's go, yeah.
And I went, and they clapped and they did a standing ovation. And I was like, you know what? Even if I don't get that role, I'm satisfied that I killed that audition.
Yeah.
And I was happy with it.
Yeah.
They called me 2 days later. They're like, you have the role.
Wow.
And I was ecstatic. I was like, you know what? Times have changed. We can go back now. And that was so fulfilling.
Mm.
And it was like a lead role, assassin, you know, very, you know, you know.
Yeah.
Action. Guns. I was like, yeah, this is going to be the one.
Okay.
Sign the contracts, do wardrobe, we're supposed to start shooting in 2 weeks. Hey, I'm like, guys, I haven't gotten times. Can I please have the times? They're like, Mali, we're going to get back to you. Can we just call you back in 2 hours? I'm like, this sounds familiar.
Okay.
Then they call me back and it's the director apologizing profusely. I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, don't say that. Don't say that.
Yeah.
He's like, can I be honest?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be honest. So the producer who's in charge of shooting this has like a girlfriend that he slept with and she wants the role.
Huh.
And there's nothing we can do because they're putting money into the show. So they've replaced you with her.
Oh my
Boom.
Gosh. That is crazy.
I cried. I think I cried for like a week.
Mm.
I went to my boyfriend. I was crying. I was like, you see, this is why I don't do acting.
Yeah.
This is why I don't do. And he's just like, oh no, babe, it's okay. And I'm like, no, I'm done. You know,
yeah.
And it was just one of those things where I was like, I'm tired of putting in the work. I'm tired of going to the audition, which is petrol, guys. It's petrol.
Mm.
It's time. You're reading lines. You're putting in the time, putting in the effort.
Mm.
And then just for stuff like that to happen. And I was just like, you know what? And to be honest, it could happen in any industry.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done corporate. I've done as well. I know people do certain things, but it's not as bad.
Mm.
It's not as bad. Like, I just feel like it's just too in your face. Like, at least if it was hidden. Like, at least don't call me and say you got the job.
Yeah.
At least just leave it as, you know, like, rather leave it there.
Sure.
But it could even get to the point where you've signed to say, I'm starting.
Mm.
And unfortunately, in all contracts that have to do with acting, at any time, the producer's allowed to replace you.
Hmm.
At any time. Even after you've signed.
Wait, I think I kind of have an idea. Was this show on Mnet?
I'm not adding further. You see, already I've said too much. This is what got me in trouble in Big Brother.
Okay.
I talk too much, number one. And
okay.
As I said, I'll say to a point, but even though I'm no longer in that industry, I don't want to call people out. It's not my place.
True,
you know, it's people's hustle. As I said, people got to eat. People have to make bread. People got to do what they have to do. It's not my place to call people out. I can speak about my experience.
True.
And that's what I experienced,
even
though they told me the names, but I'm not going to speak about people like that.
Okay.
Nah.
Yeah, because it's bygones.
It's bygones.
There's another element of the state of the industry right now, as I mentioned, is with, you know, our veterans, your fellow colleagues,
you know,
falling on hard times.
Yeah.
What is your take on that? I feel like, you know, when you mentioned that, you know, you were doing businesses on the side, and I remember you had like a nail bar with Utembi, right?
Yes, it was Tembi Siete and Sharon Kuzwayo.
Yeah.
I loved it. Well, I'm trained in somatology, so it was something I was always going to do, still going to do.
Okay.
So it was just like an easy out to be like, guys, I'm trained in this. I did work in spas, so can we create the situation?
Sure.
And it was beautiful. It was great. But COVID like messed us up and we just never recovered after COVID.
Mm.
And to bring it back, it was just so costly. And COVID killed us as entertainers. It killed us.
Yeah.
Drained all our savings. I mean, so many people's houses and cars got repossessed.
Mm.
And the industry just never was the same after COVID. Like people paid less
I feel like the rates just keep going lower.
Do you know what it
lower.
Is, Ne? It's honestly speaking, what COVID did was show businesses that they can still survive without doing certain things.
Okay.
So if you think prior, there was events left, right, and center, and you were MC this, MC that, and you know, 12 artists, 20 artists performing every concert left, right, and center. And then brands were like, oh, but our alcohol's still selling. Not as much, but it's still selling. So why are we spending 5 million to do that event? So now they learned how to do certain things, and we all had to adjust and get less. I mean, your MC rates got cut by like divided by three, you know, your appearance rates divided by three. And so it really did change a lot for a lot of people. And you had to learn to also jump on the bus and say, this is how it is now. And how are we going to move forward? And luckily, during COVID as well, that's when the whole content creation became really popular, because that was the only entertainment people had. So if you didn't jump on the bus of, hey, let me show people beauty or lifestyle or cooking or
something,
you missed out on what's making a lot of money now, which is content creation. Now, I don't pursue it that much, but when it comes to me, I take it because it is a good payer. You're basically a billboard, you're a TV station, you are a radio by yourself, whether you're on TikTok or you're on Instagram. So people actually make quite a bit of money from that. Yeah. But talking about the veterans, and every, I've seen a lot of people now come out saying they're struggling to pay medical aid bills, or they're struggling to survive,
the
or they're asking for
groceries
and they're asking people to help. And it's so painful because these are like people who are considered legends and people who should have been great. And it goes back to, again, to another chat that bothers me with that industry is the fact that people don't get royalties. So you could literally be on a show that is playing four or five times repeats, and you only get paid for the day you shot. You don't get paid for every time you get seen. Whereas if you're a model and your billboard gets shown for 2 months, you get paid.
Paid.
And then if 2 months later they go, we want to use you again, they need to pay you again. And that's in every other industry, even music. Every time your song plays, you get paid. Whether it's on an advert, a TV show, a radio, you get paid. Even as a DJ, if you're playing a song, you can get paid via Sampra. But now if you're an actor, you only get paid for the day you are on set. You do not get paid for every time you get seen. And if they decide, hey, we're distributing this show to Zambia, to Nigeria, to Kenya, you're still not getting paid for being seen there. Whereas in any other space, any other entertainment platform, you would get paid because you're using my footage, you're using my face again. And it's the same thing that people have been fighting for a long time to try and actually get actors' rights and create like a guild and create a situation where people can actually get royalties. But it's a huge fight because so many people would lose money. It's the channels losing money. It's the producers losing money. It's like so many people get to lose money if the actors now get royalties. But it's also the fair thing to do because you're still using my footage. It was a shocker to me when you literally, you are in a different country and they're playing Generations and it's dubbed in Portuguese. And it's your, and you're watching. Now they're dubbed in Portuguese and you're like, hey, bana. They're not getting paid, but it's being watched. Or you're now going to another country and it's dubbed in French. You're not getting paid.
That is insane.
It's the most insane thing to me. It's, it's very insane to me. Very insane.
It's a fight that, it's a long fight.
It's a very long fight.
I wonder if the industry will ever change. I think it was Abdul Khoza now recently saying, like, I'm done with this industry. SK Khoza also saying, you know what, I'd rather go flip burgers and McDonald's overseas than try and struggle in, you know, in this country because of the state of this industry. We have a long way to go.
We really do. We really, really do. We really do. And it's actually quite, it's sad because it's talented people. It's extremely talented people who've given their time and their energy and their passion and their art for years. And they've, and not only that, they've worked on the best shows. They should be okay. I mean, if you look at any other country and you see entertainers, they are living well. You don't have to be a millionaire, but they're living reasonably well. We in a space where an actor will be playing, driving a Mercedes, going to live in, I'm not even saying Ferrari, a Mercedes, going to an office and playing a lawyer, or you are playing a rich son living in a mansion, but because like how are you going to even like live like that? And then because you're actually a celebrated person, people go, how gandana moto, what are you doing here?
Like, how are you doing the taxi?
We
with
both
us?
In the taxi together. And it's a crazy thing when you think of that, like, what do you mean I can't even afford a car?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? And that's why I say the rates are not that high, guys. True. Especially if you convert the amount of hours it takes to shoot. It doesn't equate. It doesn't equate. And I majored in stats, guys. It doesn't equate.
It does not equate.
It doesn't equate. It doesn't equate.
Come on. I mean, I hear that you're done with acting.
Yeah.
And it's done. It's a wrap.
Well, you know what? I'll say it's I won't say it's a wrap, but it's a wrap in terms of it's not something I'm going to pursue.
Okay.
If it's something I find that I want to do, or if it's out of the country, yes.
Nobody will say no to Hollywood. Why would you say no?
Not even Hollywood, guys. Like, even if, let's say, for example, there's like a passion project where they're like, come shoot a series in Amsterdam for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, absolutely. Like, it's a snippet. It's a moment. It's a time. It's a moment. It's a moment. It's packaged. It's not your life. True. It's not a whole year. It's not 365 days.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can definitely still invest your time elsewhere. So you're still doing MCing.
Yes.
You're still open to radio gigs? Because I know you have a stint in radio.
Yes. I want to get back so badly. But you know what? It's my fault because I am such a procrastinator. Every time I'm supposed to be sending those demos and stuff, But I do want to get back into radio. It's something I definitely want to do, and I will. Come fire, come force. I will make sure I get back into radio.
Yes.
It's a plan. It's part of the pipeline. But yes, I loved radio. Radio is a beautiful space. Mm. It's a place where people can talk about different things. Like, it's like podcasts, man. You get to speak your mind.
Yes.
You get to speak about different topics. Mm-hmm. And also, we're all different. So we have different experiences, different backgrounds. So it's just nice to also understand where people come from and how they feel and how they think, and have somebody also change the way you think or adjust the way you think, because that's how you grow, I feel, personally.
Absolutely. Tell me, okay, this is what I'm excited about. While we wait for that radio comeback, you're going to be in radio just in a different way this time around. Because you're DJing right now. Tell me just what inspired that transition.
Well, it's something that has actually been long coming, and I know a lot of people like Mbaluna Mang. All of you guys, you fell off and now you're jumping to be a DJ.
And you know, people be like, but everybody now is a DJ.
No. Yeah. It's honestly speaking, as I said, I was in basically art school from a young age. So we did piano, we did musical theater. If you actually speak to a lot of people who are in the art space, they know how to dance, they know how to sing, they know how to act. Like, music is a part of it. If you're a dancer, you dance to what? To music. You have to listen to music to a very different space, because you have to listen to every beat. You have to hit every beat as a dancer. You have to be able to understand when the song is coming in and when it's not coming in.
True.
You need to know different music so that you can be original and authentic in all the different dance forms. So I did musical theater. I danced. It was not something that was different. When I was even younger, before there was even like female DJ popularity and everything, I was in the music space. I was writing. I was a lyricist. I was writing for artists for them to actually release certain music. Did we have social media then? No. Was it popular then to say everything you're doing? No. Okay. So yes, we wrote music for different artists. We were in studio. The day before my final maths matric exam, I was in studio with Tembi Siete writing free. And I only got home at 6 a.m. to go to school at 8 a.m. to finish and write my maths exam. I even remember my mom was like, "Uzofela Mbali wena, uzofela." And I was just like, no, man, I got this. And I passed with distinctions because we're smart.
Come on
But
now.
Anyway, the day before, where was I? In studio. We were writing. We were actually putting in the time. And that song got Summer nominated. Jeez. And we were there at the Summers, and it was like, I'm only 18 and here we are. But there wasn't a platform to show the type of stuff that we have, or the accolades that we received, or the amount of work we've put into the industry from that time. I mean, then I think we only had like Facebook, you know. I'm revealing my age. But it was work. It was there. Yeah. So even then, I remember then, I even recall people like Ukulu China would be like, Bali, you need to sing. And I was like, ah, not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
Like, whoa. And I was comfortable being a backup dancer. I was like, why you want to put me in the front? Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah.
I had even DJs like Abo DJ Waras. I had people like DJ Zandy saying, let me teach you how to DJ because you understand music, you write music, you help create beats. Let's do this. And yeah. I was like, Nina, one day.
Yeah.
And then through the times, I kept saying, I'll do it. But again, depression. Mm. And people don't understand how depression
pauses
everything. I was focusing on my acting. I was like, my acting. But in between, I'd go and take lessons with Akio to be like, hey, let me learn how to DJ. Mm. I'd have PH would be like, hey, when you're ready, come through. You know, because we all knew each other. I mean, we've known each other for years because I was in the industry from a very young age, since I was 16. So it was something where you met people even before.
Yeah.
You know, and it was something that was always there. And then when I finally made the decision that I'm going to go into music again, I said, you know what, let me take it seriously. Mm. Let me not be those people who say, hey, I've got an ear. Fine, I know keys and stuff because I know how to play the piano. But I was like, I want to understand it properly. That's when I went to Transcend Academy, which is a DJing school.
Yes, I recall that.
Yes. Mm. And I went there and I was like, listen, I want to DJ. I'm coming to the academy. Mm. Paid, went there. Got to study the study of music, keys and beats, which is stuff I already understood. Mm. And they even said, that's got to be easy for you because you already have an ear for music. Sure. And it was. I'm not going to lie to you. It was easy because it was like, I know songs. I listen to everything. I listen. I can listen to classical music. I can listen to reggae. I can listen to pop. I can listen to gospel, to hip hop, to everything. And it's because through my dancing days, I did the classical through ballet.
Right.
I did the Latin through my Spanish and Latin dancing. I did hip hop dancing. I did ballet, which was Arabic and that sort of music. So it's like I've listened to everything from a young age. So it was an easy thing. But to be honest, when I went to DJ school, I was going as a hip hop DJ. I wanted to do hip hop.
Yes.
And it was just purely because hip hop DJs have more technical skill than house DJs, because they play more with loops, they play more with beats, they play more with actually a cappellas going on to different songs. So even when you track back where DJing comes from, it was from the hip hop space, the hip hop genre. So I was like, I need to learn the hard part so that once I know how the controller works, people mustn't mess you up. I mustn't stand there and somebody presses a button and you're like, yay, what's happening? So I was just like, I need to know everything. And then once I understood what DJing means and the study and everything, that's when I made the decision of actually becoming an Afrotech DJ. And that was purely because of my own goals. I said, where do you see yourself playing? And for me, it was the festivals, guys. Oh, like I see, hey, babes, Chulam, yay, Kenya, yay. You know, I was just like, I see it. I see the mini people. I want to see people dancing. I mean, when I know what dancing made me feel like, I want to see people dance. I want to see people have a good time. I want to see people sweat. I sweat when I DJ because I'm dancing there as well, but I'm not doing a routine.
Yeah,
I'm just feeling the music.
Hey, because that's also a new thing now.
Yeah, like
people have to have a dance routine.
You have to leave
the boots, go in front.
Actually, you know what? And I have no qualms with that because whatever way you want to show your art, show it, babes. Yes. And people shouldn't judge it. If I am multi-talented,
come on,
show it, man. If you can dance, you can sing, you can take out an instrument, play, and then go back to the DJ booth, do it. But me personally, especially because I'm a female, I wanted to be respected by male DJs. And I said, I want you to see that I can actually do exactly what you can do.
I like the name dropping at the beginning when you're like, I used to write for 10 minutes. Like, as if it's nothing. I need you to name drop a little bit. In terms of, well, first, I definitely want to know how you guys first met. Because I feel like that relationship is
going on for a long time.
Okay.
Okay, it's not that tricky.
Okay.
I was dating, my first boyfriend was Tembi Zeta's brother.
Okay.
And I dated him for 6 years. So I met her through him. I started dating him when I was 15. So it was just one of those things where, my sister. And I was
hi.
And then obviously, like, and when you start getting along with people and you get along with them and you find out who they are, they also come and support you. So they would come to my dance recitals and they'd come to my musical theater plays. And I would also support her at her gigs while she's performing and stuff like that. And through that space, it's just, it was a very musical home. So you'd get there and they're recording. Or you get there and somebody's sitting and somebody's, it sounds so fake, but it's real. Somebody's in there like doing a beat on the table and then somebody starts singing and then you just jump in and just became like a harmonizing thing and it was just, that was the life. And that's because I started dancing for when I was 19.
Okay.
But I had to audition. So okay. I was like, please, can I dance? I asked her to start dancing for her at 17. And she was like, no. Okay. People are going to say I'm being biased. You're my sister. No.
Okay.
And then I begged and begged until she said, you know what? Mm. You can audition, but not for me, for my dancers.
Okay, nice.
If my dancers feel that you can dance with us, then cool. But if they say, nah, she's whack. Mm. She's whack. So I had to audition for dancers. Okay. And she had amazing dancers. She had... Lizma, who was the winner of So You Think You Can Dance season one.
Okay.
She had Margarita, who's like an amazing, amazing hip hop and ballet dancer in the industry. Mm. Ooh, Mama Dile, who's also, she was dancing for, I forgot that group's name, but she danced for a lot of Kwaito groups back in the day. Okay. But she's known for doing a lot of Bansula, Kwaito, urban dance moves.
Okay.
So, and she did that on purpose because Tembi wanted a versatile group where we could pull from. So basically each person would do choreography for a different type of music.
Nice. Yeah.
So when I came in, it was a, what are you going to do? Because... Yeah. You know, we got the hip hop, we've got the ballet, we've got the contemporary, we've got the Kwaito, we've got the Bansula. And I was like, can I please just audition? And I was still a child and they're like, fine, audition. Mm. So they actually made me do a piece of hip hop, a piece of ballet, a piece of contemporary, a piece of Bansula.
Like it was a
proper
interview.
And I'm going to be honest, Bansula, yo, it hit me.
Yeah.
Oh, young trapper, shem. I was like, what? Especially because I was classically trained, right? But they were like, you know what? We like your energy. We like your vibe. We can teach you. Mm. And it looks like you're a fast learner. So they put me in. And before she even said you can dance for me, they made me learn the routine, which was like a good 1.5 hour show, which was I remember that show was crazy because it was done by proper choreographers, essentially, because they were each choreographers in their own right. Mm-hmm. And when I got the routine, they were like, okay, she's cool. She can join. Mm. And then that's when I started dancing for Tembi and I toured with her for 4 years.
Wow.
We danced to China, Kenya, Dubai, Lesotho, Swaziland. Yo, we traveled, guys. And it was back to back. I made a lot of money in my 19s. I was a popping 19-year-old. I had lots of money. But it was cool because I was doing something I loved. Mm. And it was even more cool because the last song we danced was the song I wrote. So it was dope. Okay. It was dope.
360 moment. Yeah. Okay, what other songs did you write?
I wrote songs for Denim. I don't know if you know, it's an R&B group that was more of a corporate feel. So I wrote songs for them.
Wow.
I also wrote like a song for Lyra. I wrote songs for... I didn't.
Okay.
I also wrote a couple of songs that people used for samples here and there. But yeah, it was just here and there. Whenever I met people, I'd be like, can I help? Can I jump on?
Yeah.
And... Again, it was just something that made me happy, and that's why I'm there again. I'm very happy right now.
Yeah, you look very happy.
Thank you.
Happy, and I love that for you. It sounds very smooth sailing, this transition into the music space. I wonder if you actually encountered any challenges along the way.
Of course, there's always challenges, especially because the time I decided to go into DJing was the space when a lot of females went into DJing.
True.
So it was. Yo, another one. Yo, Mali, what do you know? And I was like, you know what? It's okay. Mm. Even the satisfaction I get when you go into a crowd and you get onto the DJ booth and you see people go, aish.
Not another one.
What's she going to do? And then you start playing and then they lift their heads like,
is that
okay, maybe. Cause it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And then they get up and they start dancing and then they come to look at the DJ booth to see, is it a mix?
Mm.
Oh, she's actually DJing. Mm. Oh, dope. And I think that's the appreciation I love when people come up and they're like, that was dope. I enjoyed your set. It was amazing. I'm like, awesome. Great, man. Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What are the highlights? And as much as we're painting the dark, we need to, you know, paint the light as well. What have been some of your highlights? I think right now, you're going to be releasing your first debut EP.
Yes.
That's one of the highlights. I don't know if there were others along the way prior.
No, definitely. I released my single Moto last year around November, which is featuring Black Motion.
Mm.
And that was a highlight because that was also very unexpected because they hit me up and they're like, you finally going back into music again. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. They're like, we need to do a song. And I was like, really?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'm there. They're like, studio tomorrow. I'm like, I'm there. I'm there. And it was beautiful because we got there and they're like, okay, so what do you want to do? And I was like, honestly speaking, when I was thinking about it, I've got this idea, because I'm a very ideas person. I was like, I've got these ideas and I have this dream. I want to have an EP called Elements. And I want each song to be a different element of the elements of the universe. And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, you know, like earth, air, fire. And they're like, and they're like kung fu earth. And I was like, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But now imagine if every song worked onto that. Like if every song, if you're saying it's earth, the songs are deep, they're powerful, they're grounding, they're strong, they're nourishing. If you're thinking fire, it's fast, it's passionate, it's, you know, like that sort of thing. If it's water, it's flowy, but can also be fast, it can also be slow, it could be smooth, like what water does. If it's air, can it be dreamy, can it have lots of percussion instruments? And and I gave them this idea and they're like, whoa, let's start. And we like literally sat there and we started listening to different beats and different instruments and seeing how we could play into things. And we created these beats with the most talented producer, which is Spice Drums. And we sat there and we worked on these things together. And then after that, that's when we decided, hey, why don't we then find the vocalist? So that was one of the biggest highlights. But also the most exciting highlight was the meeting of the vocalists who are going to be part of the EP, which is like one of those things where it's like, okay, cool, let's try and do this. So Buhle Bendalo is part of the EP.
I mean, I'm looking at the number of amazing renowned artists that are on this.
I wanted to give you a story of all of them. It's crazy.
Let's go.
So the beats were done.
Okay.
The beats were ready. We knew that we're doing the EP. These are the songs, but now who's going to be a part of it? Pause. I had a wish list.
Pause before we get into the wish list. So the beats were done. Did you, how involved were you in the making?
Very
of
involved.
Okay.
So we were there together, making the beats together in terms of how we want them to sound, how we want them to do it, how to actually select the sounds to go in. I helped, I did all the arranging.
Okay.
But I had to work with someone because I'm very basic, very intermediately level in terms of working with Logic and Pro Tools. I'm more familiar with Fruity Loops, but it's more, it's like beginner level. So it was one of those where it's like, okay, like also like teach me how to work around these ones. So it was more like also like a mentorship, learning how to do it. But I was there, we were present, we did the stuff, the beats are done. Now we're like, we want vocalists to come on. And I had a wish list.
Get into it.
And I was like, number one track is Moya, which is Spirit.
Okay.
And it's a very like spiritual song. And I really, really, really wanted, people with songs that are very, very deep and spiritual, because I wanted synergy from the beat sound spiritual. I want the vocal to sound spiritual.
Sure.
They gave me so many different artists to be like, oh, I'll try this one. I said, no. It's not working. I'm not crying. It's not emotional enough.
Yeah.
Tried a different artist. And they were even like, yo, Malwine Nkani, like, you're so serious. And I was like, no, there's people on. They're like, where are you going to meet these people? I was like, the universe will make a way.
Sure.
Literally, my boyfriend had a viewing at SA Film Week.
Okay.
One of his movies was showing.
Yeah.
And after we watched his movie at the lounge, Buhle Bendalo is standing at the end of the room.
Okay.
Like a groupie, I ran. Wow. I ran there and I was like, hi, hi, my name is Mbali Nkosi. How are you? I love you. I loved you so much. I've loved you ever since. I had listened to all your music.
Wow.
And listen, I'm doing an EP. It's called Elements.
Yeah.
And I really want you to sing on the song. Wow. And she was like, Sawana
Sisomunja.
Calm. And she's like,
calm.
Yeah. And I was like, sorry, I'm very excited. And she's like, yes, what is it about? Because I don't work on anything that doesn't speak to me.
Sure.
And I said, valid. And I said, respectable. And I said, okay, let me calm down. This is the project.
Sure.
And this is the song I want you to be a part of. And this is what the song means to me. And she said, I love it.
Wow.
Here's my number. Let me know if I can be in studio this week.
Wow.
And I said, really? She said, yes. And I was like, ah. And I literally got home, didn't even waste time. I was like, okay, you can go to studio this week. I will fetch you. I will send a driver. I'll take you to the studio.
Wow.
What do you need at the studio? What do you eat? What do you drink? I want you to be as comfortable as possible. And she was like, oh, you're so sweet. And she's like, yes, can I please have sparkling water and ginger tea?
Come on.
And I was like, that's all. And I was like, I'm going to bring snacks. I'm going to make sure she's comfortable. And she literally called me a day before studio. And she's like, okay, Siswam, this is what I'm leaning towards. Give me your thoughts. And we sat and we spoke about it. And I said to her, to be honest, I've always had this thing of wanting isithakazelo sam in the beginning of a song. Because for me, my culture is very important. Because I had to fight for it my whole life. Because a lot of, oh, look at me getting emotional. Because a lot of people would not believe.
It's so dumb.
who I am, right?
Now I wish I had tissues.
It's fine.
But it's quite valid what you're
saying.
Yeah,
so I said I really want them at the beginning of my song. And I also said, also my mom means a lot to me. She's like my rock. And that's when she was like, okay, where's your family from? And we had like a whole discussion where I was explaining Uti, Ubabam Nkosi Dlamini from the Swati tribe, and Umama Mseleku from KZN. We grew up in Gqeberha, and I'm giving her the whole jazz, and she said, okay, I got it. Then she said, give me a moment. I want to like dissect, like I want to digest what you're telling me and actually get into it. And she took that moment, she digested it, and then she came back and she said, okay, I think I've got something. I said, great. Got into studio the next day. Literally got into the studio booth. I had an embarrassing moment, which was actually cute. Okay. I forget that she can hear me on the other side.
Oh, hectic.
So I'm sitting with Spice and I'm like, I'm so excited. I'm so excited that she's here. Like, I ran up to her and I know she doesn't even know who I am. I'm just so happy she's here.
Yeah.
And then she responds on the mic and she's like, I actually know who you are in Bali, but I'm also very excited to be part of this project. And I went, oh, you can hear me. And I felt so embarrassed. And she's like, no, let's knock this out the park. And she did it. And I just cried. I was just like, oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. It's spiritual. It's soulful. And Moya is basically a song where you're basically asking guidance from your ancestors to open the path you want to journey into, which I think is the perfect number one track.
Sure.
Because it's opening the album, essentially. Then number two.
Come on.
Number two is featuring Rolene.
Okay.
My girl. I love her to beats. She is the sweetest, most humble, most caring, most empathetic person. She's basically like me, essentially. But I love her. Mm. I accept the humbleness because I'm not humble.
Okay.
But she's so sweet. And I love her voice. She's got, I think, one of the most beautiful R&B voices we have in South Africa.
Absolutely.
And I literally, she was actually one of the last people I recorded.
Okay.
All the other songs were done. And Air was just not done.
Okay.
And I was just not getting the right voice. And I literally sat there and I said, Rolene's got a very dreamy, airy voice. And I called her and she's like, hey, babe, how are you, mama? And I'm like, hey, my angel, listen, I'm working on. She said, yes.
What?
And I'm like, wait, man, I haven't even explained. She said, yes. I'm like, but I haven't said anything. She said, yes. I'm like,
wow.
Wait, now, just listen. Yeah. And she's like, whatever you're doing, whatever you're working on, yes, I'm a part of it. And then that's when I said, okay, great, but now can I tell you what it is?
Yeah.
And she said, okay, what is it about? Then I explained to her the song in terms of Air is a very dreamy song. It's got a lot of percussion instruments. We put a lot of work into making it airy and dreamy, and that's what we want. I want a song that also symbolizes what it's about. What does air mean to you? What is that symbolization of air? And for me, I'm thinking along the lines of winds of change or a journey or you know, like things that, because that's what wind does. That's what air does. It floats. It makes you feel a certain way. And she said, oh, I love that. Give me a day. And then she came back the next day and she said, okay, this is the idea I have. And she's like, I'm thinking of love makes you feel like you're on top of the clouds, right? I'm feeling it needs to be about love. And I was like, that's interesting because I actually have no song about love on this EP.
Okay.
So that would be amazing. Let's talk about love. And she's like, but love changing. So things are great. You have dreams, you have plans, but they change. And it's not going the way it's supposed to go. Is it still the right love for you? Is it no longer the love for you? Is it still the right direction or should you go a different direction? And that's how Dreams came about, and that's our number two. And it's such a beautiful song. It's so if you've been in a situation where you're so in love with the person and you really want to be with them but you're not sure if it's working or if it's gonna happen or if it's still the right thing for you, and you're still like making that decision, it will hit home.
Yeah.
It will hit home. And then we move on to number three, which is Water, but it's actually called Yemaya. That one is featuring Boskasi.
Okay.
Again, me with the stories, always my life is dramatic as usual. I was at Naja Nakai's listening session.
Okay.
And I'm listening to Naja's songs, and she has this one song with Boskasi. And I said, that girl has a voice. I love her voice. Whoa. And I walked up to her and I was like, listen, babe, I'm Bali. I love your voice. I want you to be on my song. And she's like, hi, I'm Nicole. and she's like, yes, of course. And then she tells me, I've been on many Afrotech songs. I've worked with your Kulodo songs. I've worked with Cairo. I've worked. And I said, vision. Of course. I'm like, my spirits were leading me to you.
Yeah.
And then I explained to her what Elements is about. Mm. And she just says, that is so funny because it's one of my studies. Like, I study like cultural, universal, spiritual, what. And I'm studying it in varsity alongside studying origins of different backgrounds. And I just said, you are linked to me and you didn't know it. We have now found each other. Mm. We are recording this. And she said, 100%, what do you want? I said, the song is water.
Mm.
I want a song about literally something powerful, something smooth. What does water do? It cleanses you. So I want a song about cleansing. I want a song about that's like energetic and fiery, because water can be a tornado.
Come on.
A tsunami.
Mm.
But water can also be a river and smooth and flowing. And she delivered 100%.
Wow.
She literally, that's what the song is about. It's Yemaya. Mm. Yemaya is actually a goddess from Nigerian origin.
Okay. Okay.
And it's a water goddess. And a lot of people actually go to the river to pray to her to cleanse. Oh. And so the song is her going through that journey to be like, you know what? I've had a bad patch in my life and it's time to be anew. I want to be cleansed. I want to be fresh. And I need you to, and I'm coming here fully as I am and asking you to cleanse me so that I'm ready for my next chapter of my life. So yeah,
very spiritual
album, guys.
Very detailed as well.
Yes,
I love it. I love this creative process.
That's what I was like. I'm so happy it's finally together. And then number four is Moto, which is the song I already have.
Yes.
But what we did now is do a remake. And the remake was not, I did not do the production in the remake. The remake was done by Deepa and Washi.
Okay.
They took Moto and they just remade it. But I explained to them that the first Moto was very passionate, very fast, very live.
Mm.
But now because the album is on a very spiritual route, can you please make a song that makes you think of when fire is settling? Like think of like a bonfire and you're sitting with people and the fire is just like simmering and it's starting to chill. That's what I want. And boy, did they deliver. They got that and they gave you that very warm, atmospheric, very loungy sound that's making you feel like it's more summer, but it's still fire and it still works. And my vocals on Moto, which are still there, but it's very like here and there. It's just a touch. I'm not ready yet. I'll be ready in my album to sing for everyone. It's more about just getting the confidence to do that, which has always been an issue for me since I was a child.
The singing element.
I can sing, but I sing for other people to be like, this is how you should sing it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's like in Bean Studio and say, hi, this is how you should sing the song. And then I'll say, I'll sing for you and then just copy what I'm doing. But then I think the moment I'm comfortable to do that in front of crowds of people, that's when I'll sing on my own songs. But I'm forcing myself to challenge myself to do that for my album, which is already in the works. But yeah, anyway.
Okay.
Then the fifth song and the last song is Umhlaba, which is Earth.
Okay.
And the beats we made sure are very strong, lots of bass because you want that powerful, because earth is grounding. It's very nourishing. And I went and convinced Sandile Matlanga to sing on it, which will be his musical vocal debut. And again, it's a very, very spiritual song because he made it a period piece where he is going back in time to the moments when we sold our land for nothing, where you bartered it for a mirror or bartered it for corn. And he's basically, the storyline is him now being back at home, speaking to his family and his father and realizing, I actually not messed us up in the present. I've messed us up in the future because now I've made a mistake and now our future generations won't have this land.
Okay.
So the song is about losing something extremely important to you that does not only means a loss now, it's a loss in the present, but also a loss for future and future and future, future generations. So the song is him apologizing and apologizing to God, apologizing to his ancestors, apologizing to his family for making this mistake. And I mean, that's the Elements EP.
I am super, super, super excited for this project, if anything. I mean, the fact that you convinced, I didn't even know he could sing. Usandile.
As I said earlier on, if you are an artist,
you know how
to dance.
They are.
You know how to sing. You know how to act, because in musical theater, you need to be able to dance, sing, and act.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't know that. And it's crazy because that's why if you see a lot of artists, they actually have a history of dancing, mm. or they have a history of acting, or they sure. have a, or vocalists who have sure. a history of acting.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do mention when you're announcing. So, by the way, the EP is coming out in May on the 23rd.
Yes!
There's a date.
Yes.
Tell me about the significance of even, like, putting it out right now. I mean, you do mention that, like, this is very close to your
yes,
heart. I'm
yes.
sure to even put it out. I mean, there's
guys,
a lot to
we
it.
Went through so... That's why I said this was a very spiritual journey. Mm. The album was actually supposed to come out in April.
Okay.
But there were just so many delays mm. and worthy delays. Because, mm. as I said... If I released it in April, Rolene was not going to be a part of the EP. Okay. Sandile was not going to be a part of the EP.
Okay.
If I released it in April, there are so many beats that were not going to be included because there's so okay. many moments I'd sit and listen back and say, actually, I don't like that. We need to change that.
Mm.
Or actually, there's a sound that's irritating me and I want us to go and fix that. So we'd go back and forth in studio trying to make it right.
Mm.
Then the EP was supposed to come out beginning of May.
Okay.
And... had a conversation with my mom and my sister and they're like, we don't think it's the right time for it to come out because that's around the time my father passed away.
Oh.
And they were like, we don't think it's going to be the right energy to carry that onto this EP.
Sure.
And I said, you know what? You're right. And we delayed it and we delayed it and we delayed it and we delayed it and we delayed it. And then when they were like 23rd of May, I was like, great. That's actually a good time.
Mm.
It's going into the winter months, which is actually when my father was born. So it makes more sense.
Okay.
He can more bless
life.
This EP.
Sure.
Baba, please bless this EP.
My condolences, by the way.
No,
yes.
It's fine.
Yes.
He was amazing, great man.
Mm.
And he was an amazing person.
Mm.
And it's just to honor that. And especially because it is... thinking of Moya, it's asking the people before you to walk on this journey with you.
Sure.
So it's also just... respecting certain dates
yeah.
and respecting certain moments.
Mm.
And I think people are shocked because they don't know I'm a very spiritual person and
him?
Very cultural person.
Yeah.
But yes, now feels like the right time.
Yeah.
Now feels like the right
yeah.
time. Yeah.
I'm excited. I feel like it's definitely the right time because I feel like this has been a long time coming. I definitely
yes.
wanted to hear more music from you.
Yes.
And I feel like... the way, the work that, I mean, you already were explaining the work that you put into this project and it just sounds, I mean, I feel like nowadays, I'm not coming for anybody, but you know, some people are just like, just record, okay, shoot music video, secret the lab, it sounds like you really put your heart and soul into this and I really hope it definitely translates with the music. Are you an independent artist?
No, I'm not. I'm actually
okay.
signed to Interscore.
Okay.
Love my team.
Lovely.
Love my team. It's the same people that Black Motion are under. And they basically handle a lot of the business side of it.
Okay.
But because I understand it, I learned a lot through it through Tembi. So
sure.
I didn't go in blind signed it. I was like, yay!
Yeah.
Let's read this contract 10
yeah.
times.
Come on.
But they were very like also like willing to adjust to make me happy, which makes me happy about that. But they're super amazing, man. They just it feels like a second home. Like going to studio there is amazing. And also you can't ever take for granted free studio time. Studios are
yay.
Tries. And so because they have their own studio and because they've got they also support, I'm not gonna lie, I leaned in a lot of support with them pushing the song globally and distributing
great.
It around.
Yes.
And they're making sure that they help me release the songs the right way.
Yeah.
Because there's certain things that you don't know as an artist,
yeah.
like that your songs have to be pitched to Spotify and to
no
Apple
idea.
For them to get onto playlists. So a person will sit there like,
oh.
why is my song not on a
sure.
Spotify playlist when it's, I've got a great song because you never pitched it? Or why is my song only being distributed in South Africa and not in Africa or globally? Because you never actually...
pitched
to for it to be played globally.
Sure.
So it's things like that that are very important. Even learning that you need to submit a song 5 weeks before you release it. Because
okay.
if you don't, it won't be submitted globally.
Okay.
And you need to do so. There's so much musical knowledge that you get from having people who are mentors or people who are in a great team. If you're not in a great team, you're just going to release ksasa on some, done with the song, it's mixed, it's mastered, release.
Sure.
But now your song is only playing in South Africa.
Yeah.
Or your song is not being pitched in playlists that could be playing in Amsterdam. Or things that could play in America. Which is actually the most interesting thing. Like even now when I look at my analytics from Motto, the one that came out November last year.
Yes.
My top three cities are Joburg, UK and New York.
Wow.
And it's because It was playlisted and pitched so that it can play in different places. And that's why I got booked to play in Miami in January, because they actually knew the song that side because they heard it. Which is why I was even in India last month playing, because it's now it's being played in globally. And you'll sit there and you'll be like, India? Eh? You're not in India. But it's because people are listening to it. So it's very important to have a great team behind you. Especially music is a beautiful space, but a very technical space. So you need to know the admin behind it. You need to know how to do it. Otherwise, you're just going to mess up. The talent. I've said this about everything. Talent is not enough. You need to know.
Absolutely.
You need to know what... how to do something, how where, how's your money getting coming in, how is where's it being pitched to, you know, and that's a very important thing to have a good musical team behind you.
I like this. I mean, the fact that you are just releasing your debut EP but yet you've traveled, that's quite incredible. Shout out to you and your team.
Thank you.
Just what goals do you have for your DJing career? What else is in the pipeline for you in that regard? I mean, you did mention you're already working on your album, so that's coming out, I'm assuming, next year, because now
not this year and it's a huge body of work. That one is going to be a full body of work. We're looking, it's so much has to go into that one. So much. And you know me, you heard, I like deep things, I like intricate things. So everything is going to take time and patience, and I don't want to rush it, because it also means a lot to me. I do not want to rush it. But goals, guys, goals are always good to have. Let me actually not even say goals. I manifest. I manifest to be playing at like the biggest music festivals, and not just globally, this side. I'd love to be playing, for example, at a Hey Neighbor, or to be playing at all the music festivals, the side Bacardi. I'd love to play at Swaziland, go to like a bushfire and go and meet my other roots, you know, Abu Dlamini, that side.
come on.
But my goal is to be at festivals, and that's also not looking down at the clubs I play in. I appreciate all the places I get booked in, because that's a consistency. You know, you can get that work every week where festivals come now and then.
Absolutely.
I appreciate every single place that keeps booking me, and places where I go and they actually so happy when they see me arrive. And you know, like, even on that regard, I can give like a few mentions to like the top five places that I just absolutely love playing. When I think of like Saints in Cape Town, such an amazing team of people, very warm, very welcoming, very professional, always willing to like work with you, and they treat you as such. Like, something as small as even when you walk through the door, they're always like, hello, superstar. And it's just the cutest things they do, but they do it for everybody who walks through that door. And I love teams like that. Second place I have to mention is your Montana. That is just like such a vibe, such great people. And they've been in the game. They just like they know what they're doing. I mean, they host international artists. They're in Rosebank, and they like absolutely amazing. Love them. Nola and Santon. I've never gone to Nola and not played 2 or 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's because I want to.
Okay.
Because the crowd is so amazing. It's people, you know, don't you miss those times where people just wanted to dance?
Yes.
Or people who just wanted to like have a good time and not worry good to who's watching you.
No.
That's Nola for you. Go to Nola. Like, people, there's no bad energy. People are having their mimosas. People are having their brunch. They just want to have good music. They just want a good vibe. And it's also, to be honest, where I like practice just playing different musical genres. Because like, when I'm there, I can play old school house.
Oh, hey.
I'll play your gom. I'll play your new house. I can play lounge. I can play Latin music, because they're so open to just hearing everything. Absolutely love them. Love them down. And then also have to also bring up this side. When I think of like places that always just makes me feel welcome is Drama. Cape Town.
Drama in Cape Town is lit.
It is.
It is too much.
I have to add the Cape Town pillow. Cape Town, guys.
Yeah, that is.
I even have so many reels of me playing in Drama Cape Town, because that's where you see my Afrotechness. They love. It was actually a shock for me the first times I started playing in Cape Town to realize they love Afrotech and they love glam. Like, I was like, how? Maragom is Durban. It's home. Yeah. And they're like, no. Here in Cape Town is where it's at. And they will scream. They will even create chants for you while you're playing. They are they're just a vibe. They're ready for you. And from the moment you just play, you need to give it.
Yeah.
Because every DJ there is giving it, and it's students. Mm. So they want to have a good time. So absolutely love them down. Those are just like, oh man. So those are the places, every time they say Mbali come, I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
I'm definitely. When can I come?
Yeah.
Last more. Can I even do 2-3 days? I'll do it.
I really wonder what your life looks like right now. I mean, the music industry versus the acting is quite different.
Very.
You're busy during the week as an actor. There's call time. There's too much time there. I feel like, you know, if you DJing your Mondays, you can have your Mondays off. You know, which works best with even taking care of yourself as well at the same time. What does your life look like right now?
It's beautiful.
Come on.
I have a rule. If I'm not working on Mondays, because you get to play on Mondays sometimes depending on where you are.
Oh, right, because Mokhodi Mondays.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Mondays or Tuesdays, don't try and speak to me.
Wow.
I do not leave. I watch my soapies. I watch my reality shows. Wow. I watch my TV. I play with my dogs. I do my washing. You're not going to reach out to me on Monday. Tuesday, though, I do start working because that's the perfect day to go and pitch to people to say, hey, can I play this week? You know what's happening this week? Because clubs work on a week to week. They don't prepare months in advance.
Sure.
But the rest of the week, I am attending to my businesses. I am relaxing R&R. I am practicing on my controller.
Yeah.
I am hiking. Yeah. I'm taking walks. Wow. I am sleeping.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Whereas before, it just felt very depressing.
Sure.
Yes, Thursday to Monday. Am I gigging at night? Yes, I'm a night rider now. You know, people have to adjust sometimes. I know even my team that's with us right now, they have shocks sometimes. Like, we're only going home at 6 a.m. Like, yes, we're only going home at 6 a.m. But guess what? You can sleep till 8 p.m. if you want. So I prefer that. And to be honest, even if you're working at night, even if you have one gig versus having 3 gigs or 4 gigs, which I've had the opportunity to do, which is amazing. It's literally 2-4 hours of your time.
Sure.
It makes so much more sense to me than going to do 16-hour days. Now, again, I'm not bashing the industry, but I'm saying it just works more better for me because I want a fully balanced life. I have my businesses. I have a farm. I have things that I need to go and check up on. Yeah. I don't have the time to not be fully present in my life. So it gives me the time to actually even just go to a coffee shop and sit and open my laptop and be like, let me plan on how are we moving forward with the other businesses. How are we bringing Azuri back? How are we creating another line for M? How are we? And it gives you that time.
Mm.
But right now, I'm not going to lie, majority of my time is to the farm. That's why everything is taking a backseat because, guys, farming is not child's play.
Yeah.
It is not child's
what
play.
What do you farm, by the way?
We farm chicken. It's a poultry farm.
Come on.
Family farms. We supply to Devlin's and Soweto. We apply to Spa, Polo Fields. We supply to also your little more wellness boutique ones because they're free range and they pasture raised.
Okay.
But we're expanding and through that expansion, now we're looking at getting into goats. I want my little goaties.
Come on.
To be running around, we're still having a debate because my partner's more like, hey, we need the goats for meat. I'm like, no, we need to expand these goats. We need a herd. And it's because I want it to be more for the agro-processing. So I want to do the goat milk. I want to do the goat cheese.
Oh, hey.
I also want proper goats so that we could sell mohair or we could sell cashmere, depending on what goat you're using, whether Bura goats or Angora goats. So there's like a whole guys, I've got a brain now.
There's a reason why you're an award-winning entrepreneur.
And I am award-winning. I am an award-winning entrepreneur. Yeah, because babes, I put in the work.
Sure.
I'm there. Like, I've got videos of me with shovels because we built that farm with our hands.
Wow.
Like, me and my person were there hands deep. I mean, he's an electrical engineer, so he did the electricity on that whole plot himself with his own hands. We didn't hire nobody.
Wow.
We literally built it when we got to the land and it was barren. We literally created outside sheds, we created 2 chicken houses, we created staffing quarters.
Wow.
There's no Eskom or water there. So we have a borehole where we had to create piping that goes all the way from the borehole, which is like 300 meters down.
Yeah.
But it's fulfilling. It's sure. fulfilling, and it's generational, and it's, as we said, it's nature. So whenever you're angry, you go there and you take a pickaxe and you break a rock.
Yes. And yes.
Or you feed a chicken, you know. Yeah. And it's beautiful. You learn to connect to nature again, and you learn to connect to what's important.
Mm.
And it's also been so fulfilling, like, our families are part of that farm. Mm. You know, my mom was there feeding the chickens. His sister and brother were there breaking rocks and feeding the chickens.
Wow.
And his best friend was delivering those eggs. You know, it's like, it was, it's why it's called family farms.
I love that.
And the expansion plan is very exciting. We can't wait to do more. We're also going into orchids, which is also very important because my family used to have orchids in KZN. We used to do lemon, grapefruit and oranges.
Okay.
And unfortunately, after my great-great-grandfather passed away.
Okay.
He gave the land to my grandfathers and not the grandmothers. And unfortunately, the grandfathers decided to sell the land, which Mhlaba, that's why it's very important, that song.
Yes.
And
it actually
adjusted all of our futures.
Mm.
So I want to bring that back.
I love
so
that.
We want to do orchids as well.
Wow.
So that's the vision. The plan
that.
And the vision.
So many exciting things happen in your life. You seem to be in a very beautiful space.
Yes,
I love that. I want to also just steal a little bit of that energy for myself. But really, congratulations
Thank
on everything
you.
Amazing that has happened in your life. We love documenting your story over here. So yeah, Elements is coming out May 23rd. Make sure to check it out.
Yes, guys, you must check it out. And yeah, like, you know what? I'm even starting on scratch on Spotify. We need to get those numbers up. So please do go and find me on Spotify. It's Mbali Nkosi. Even on Apple Music, follow, pre-save, guys. You can pre-save the album so that you don't have to forget.
Okay.
The links are all on my social media platforms. It's at the Mbali Nkosi everywhere. Not Temba Nkosi, because everybody sees the. It's Temba. It's
no.
the, because of Mbali Nkosi
Bagwele.
Had to like be different.
It's
so it's
the
Mbali Nkosi. So THEE Mbali Nkosi everywhere. So TikTok, Instagram, X. I almost said Twitter. H, that X thing is not sticking.
It's not sticking.
It's not sticking.
What the hell,
X. And then on Facebook, it's Miss Mbali Nkosi. I'm still on Facebook. I've got a page. But honestly speaking, it's because, you know, I also have a marketing background and Facebook is still the largest platform in South Africa.
Sure.
So don't sleep on Facebook, guys. Get a Facebook page if you have a business. And because our brands are business, my musical page is there. Yes.
I love that. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you, Julie.
We love you over here. Come back when we have something else to promote.
Yes.
We're going to make sure we're going to push this one though.
Yes, please.
Thank you so much
Thank you so much, guys. I hope you guys enjoy it. It means so much to me.
Yes.
Yes.
That's Mbali Nkosi for you. Elements coming out May 23rd. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Yay. Mwah.